WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Apple announced it will spend $500 billion in the U.S. over the next 4 years, open a new factory in Houston, and hire about 20,000 American workers. It's a murkier picture for public sector employees. Elon Musk directed an email to the entire federal workforce telling them to reply with a list of accomplishments or face termination. But ABC's Nicole D'Antonio says there's been pushback from within the Trump administration as agency heads tell their workers to hold off on replying.
FBI Director Kash Patel ordering his workforce to pause any responses to the email, and leaders at the State Department and elsewhere saying no employee is obligated to report their activities outside of their department chain of command.
3 years since Russia invaded Ukraine, a Ukrainian government minister said teams from the U.S. and Ukraine are in the final stages of talks on a deal for U.S. access to Ukrainian mineral rights. And Pope Francis remains hospitalized in critical condition. This is ABC News. No more charging up electric vehicles at federal agencies. The Trump administration ordering thousands of EV chargers to be shut down. It's also looking to get rid of electric vehicles currently in the federal fleet. A deadly boat accident in the waters just off New York left 3 people dead. One person is still missing. ABC's Sonia Rincon is in New York.
The U.S. Coast Guard has informed us that the boat that capsized was a Grady White. That is a personal speedboat, usually as small as about 18 feet. Now, the weather was milder and calmer than it has been in weeks, but the water of the lower New York Bay is still extremely cold, and being in that water can certainly put you at risk for hypothermia. It is not clear if that is what happened.
In France, a former surgeon standing trial today accused of sexually abusing nearly 300 victims, most of them children. He's already serving prison time. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Bucks winning with backups. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks won at home 120-113 over the Miami Heat. They head to Houston today to play the Rockets tomorrow night. Damian Lillard has been limited with a hamstring injury and marveled how backup guard Kevin Porter Jr. took over the game after being traded here from the Clippers.
I think, first of all, it was fun to watch. I think when you are a star in this league, a lot of times the weight of the game shifting is on you. KP scoring, from being able to see him since he was in high school to college to even, you know, his time in the NBA, I've seen him many times have huge nights.
Kevin Porter Jr., nicknamed Scoot, on what it's been like since he arrived in Milwaukee.
As soon as I came in here, I felt very welcome, and that's big, that's huge, especially when you got people like Giannis, Dame, Doc, a winning organization, you know, the fan base, you know, how Milwaukee has welcomed me, and it's been beautiful, honestly, so I'm blessed to be where I'm at.
That's Bucks guard Kevin Porter Jr. with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Trust fund kid Elon Musk has drawn a lot of political criticism lately, but now he's under fire for being a bad parent from his own father. Errol Musk appeared on the Wide Awake podcast and said that his son will probably shoot him for saying this, but Elon is not a good father. This comes after rumors that Musk had fathered a 13th child, somehow with 16 women. Should probably fact check that. It's important to note that just a couple years ago, Errol Musk admitted to having a second child with his stepdaughter, who was only 4 years old when he married the child's mother, according to Rolling Stone. Errol and the girl's mom have two children of their own, as Musk apparently wanted his future baby mama to have playmates. For the record, Rolling Stone also reported that Elon Musk is not a fan of his father. He called him a terrible human being who has done every evil thing or crime you could possibly imagine, which is probably why they decided not to have kids together. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Northern Wisconsin weather. Good morning. I'm Corey Hartman. A few sprinkles are possible today, otherwise partly sunny and 45. We'll have strong west winds. Tonight, a sprinkle or flurry, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low around 27. Partly sunny, upper 30s on your Tuesday. Wednesday, chance of snow, 42.
It's 39 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will break down all of the most recent news and how it affects all of us here in Wisconsin. Plus, this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I need to laugh, and when the sun is...
Good morning, and welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Pat Kreitlow on this Monday morning, February 24th. Thrilled to be with you here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Got Greg on the board, and you can join us as well. 855-752-4842. Looking forward to the conversation we are going to have with Corrine Hendrickson and Sean Fetteplace of Main Street Alliance coming up shortly. But between now and then, we've got Civic Media's own Brittany Merlot. Brittany, how are we doing on this Monday morning?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How are you?
I am doing well. I drew the short straw and I got the Monday morning shift filling in for Pat. So all the options were already filled. He had... This is not a problem working with you, Greg. I'm saying everybody else got all their choosing of which day they wanted to fill in for Pat. And I was told, hey, we got Monday left. You want to do Monday? And I was like, sure. I love to, Pat. I working with Greg early in the morning, favorite thing to do. His exact response, don't look at the emails or texts. It's exactly how I told him, Greg.
Okay. Thanks, Luke.
But Brittany, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic. You know, I took advantage of the snow while we still have it before, you know, the major melt ongoing right now. And so I got out there and I went snowmobiling. But let me tell you, those trails beat me up. I'm sore. I can barely walk today, to be honest.
There you go. Well, hopefully you got some good use out of them then, because it is some warmer temperatures that are coming our way after the cooler past couple of weeks. I kind of dubbed it to Greg this morning. It's muddy paw season. We both have the four-legged friends. We're keeping an eye on how much mud is getting tracked in and out of the house with all the melt that's going on. But what can Wisconsinites look forward to for their forecast both today and to kick off their week?
Well, very spring-like, season-shifting kind of vibe as we go through this entire week. So right now, temperatures across the state this morning, already, we're sitting at 37 degrees to 45 degrees. So this is huge. I mean, our average highs for this time of year are usually in the low 30s. So to start the morning off this mild, this comfortable, if you're not outside enjoying it today, we're fighting.
All right.
You're not allowed to complain
folks,
about the cold.
Do not pick a fight with Brittany. Just get outside, enjoy the nicer weather that we are having across the state of Wisconsin. We don't want any fights breaking out here, Brittany.
No, we definitely don't. But it's going to be gorgeous today. A ton of sunshine. Highs crazy warm into the upper 40s to potentially some mid 50s. Those mid 50s could be southwest in the state. Greg's dancing. I know a lot of people are probably.
Greg's enjoying it. I know that the pups are going to enjoy it. It seems like the groundhog may have been right earlier this month, Brittany. Jimmy here in Sun Prairie predicting that earlier spring. It seems like it's here. Any chance, though, that we're going to have a little whiplash? And after all of these warmer temperatures this week, we've got a brace for cooler? Or is it too hard to tell right now?
You know, there's always the whiplash, but it's not going to be as severe. We're not going to go into some crazy cold snap that we just came out of, so that's good news. But by next weekend, we are looking at our temperatures, our highs, getting back to the low 30s. So a very warm week, all week into the 40s, and then we cool down to the low 30s by next weekend. But we do have a few shots of some systems. Wednesday, we're looking at a wintry mix where it moves in as rain. I'm sorry, moves in as like a snow, flips over to rain, then some freezing rain, and then to some more snow as it departs. So a messy midweek, and then another system does want to slide through on Friday, putting a little bit of snow accumulation through central parts of the state. But we'll keep tracking that one for you. That one's going to be moving around a bunch. But overall, Wednesday is the day. It's going to be a little messy, muddy as well.
Yep, you're going to have to keep an eye out for those muddy paws. But Brittany Merlot, thank you so much. Folks, you're going to have to stay tuned for those meteorology forecasts every single morning. Brittany, thank you for joining us as Pat is out filling in for him. Dan Schaefer will be tomorrow and excellent civic media host throughout the week. So thank you so much, Brittany.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys. Enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yep. Get out there because we do not want any fights breaking out with Brittany. Folks, you are listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat Kreitlow on this Monday morning. We are now joined by Kareen Hendrickson, and hopefully joined soon by Sean Fetteplace as well. From Main Street Alliance, Kareen, you are out in Washington, D.C., doing some advocacy for small businesses, a part of Main Street Alliance. What can you tell us about the lobbying that Main Street Alliance is doing out in Washington, D.C. this week with the tax fight that we're hearing get underway, beginning even as early as last week with the U.S. Senate and the House later this week?
Yeah, so we are here with Main Street Alliance and the Small Business Majority to do some advocacy on behalf of the small businesses. I'm actually doing double duty. I'm here with child care providers as well, with NACI. So with Main Street Alliance, I will be doing a lot of talking about the tax code and how it can be more fair so that small businesses like mine are able to do what we need to do and charge a reasonable rate so that the people who rely on our goods and services are able to afford those goods and services. And so looking at that Tax Cut and Jobs Act and the small business pass-through. So there was a 20% small business pass-through that Senator Ron Johnson actually fought really hard for. However, we're finding that almost all of that goes to the bigger business. Like, small businesses are up to 500 employees. Those aren't real small businesses. And so looking at it as a way to say, okay, this is what happened. 90% went to this small group of people. 10% went to the rest of us. And so I actually looked at my last year's taxes as a childcare professional. That, say, 20% pass-through saved me $600 in taxes. And my husband, who is a musician, it saved him less than $100. But then our state does not actually accept that. So I have to then go back and redo our state taxes. And so you're actually doing double duty. And the amount that it saves me really is negated by that extra time and effort that I have to put in. And so we're looking at asking for, like, maybe we just do a set dollar amount that, you know, we just automatically are able to reduce our taxes by, because that would be easier, it would be fair, and it would be a way to make sure that it is a progressive, not a regressive tax. And okay. Sean is here.
And Sean's here as well, folks. We're joined by Sean Fetteplace of Main Street Alliance, as well as Kareen Hendrickson, doing double duty there for early childhood care providers and educators, as well as a member of Main Street Alliance. Sean, what can you tell us about the Small Business Tax Fairness Coalition and the work that you are all doing in Washington this week?
Yeah, so the Small Business Tax Fairness Coalition was co-founded between us, Main Street Alliance, and Small Business Majority. We have a lot in common and common values, and so we came together to make sure that we could counterbalance the effects of the Chamber of Commerce and a lot of groups that are very much zero-sum game type thinkers. You know, we really believe, as Kareen said, that you need to invest from the bottom up. And frankly, there's 20 million new small businesses that have been formed in the last 4 years. And but failure rates among small businesses are very high. It's 20% the first 2 years and 50% in the first 5 years. So if you can concentrate the tax relief to folks who are of that bracket, and you're more likely to see those businesses survive, that on a macro level is much better for the economy. So we're going to make our case up on the Hill, where we have over 60 meetings scheduled with folks, including both the Wisconsin delegation, but also all across the country. And that's why we're here today.
And we saw, just as this tax process is getting underway, there's a number of other headlines that are going on around the nation and around the state of Wisconsin. But we had two members of Congress here in Wisconsin host town halls last week, and seeing some overwhelming involvement, I think would be the best, engagement would be the best way to phrase those town halls. One held by Congressman Glenn Grothman, hosted a room about 100 people and had an additional 50 or so, according to the Journal Sentinel, overflow. So overwhelming engagement with our members of Congress. Are you seeing aspects of that in Washington, D.C.? Are you hoping to be able to take some of that momentum for where Wisconsinites are feeling about this process into these offices as you lobby this week?
Yeah, people are fired up. And I would say kudos to both Representative Fitzgerald and Glenn Grothman for actually holding town halls. I hope more members of Congress all across the country do that. It's actually a lot more rare than it should be, because ultimately these folks work for us, not the other way around. And they need to show up and actually talk about what they're doing and not just sit in their bubbles. And so I do, you know, you've seen those reactions, though, not just in their districts, but also in districts all across the country. There is a very important recess coming up in mid-March. There's also a two-week recess in April. So folks are going to be back home quite a bit. Definitely keep an eye out for town halls. Would encourage folks to go to your representative and senator's websites, sign up for their newsletter, set up Google Alerts. If you need to know how to do that, you can email me at Sean@MainStreetAlliance.org. But, you know, oftentimes it can be hard to find out when these things are happening until the very last minute. But I would definitely encourage people to go use your voice. And frankly, we need these folks to be more afraid of their constituents on these issues than they are afraid of Speaker Mike Johnson. Senator John Thune and President Trump. And if they're hearing from folks down home, they're going to hopefully have to listen.
Folks, you are listening to Civic Media.
I was just going to say, then for us, when we come here and we talk to our reps here, they can't say, well, I'm not hearing it at home. Yes, you are. And so I wanted to echo how important it is for people at home to stay engaged.
Yeah, the engagement is absolutely very important at this point. We know that this tax bill is going to have ramifications for years to come. As Sean, you pointed out, we have small businesses that are already facing uphill hurdles when it comes to the ability for them to have success. And we really want to be able to see those small businesses that make our communities, be able to thrive and not just be trying to skate by or eke by. Folks, you're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Luke Mathers. I am filling in for Pat Kreitlow on this Monday morning. We are joined, by Sean Fetteplace and Corrine Hendrickson, working on some small business advocacy and tax fairness in Washington, D.C. this week. We're going to keep the conversation rolling with them. You're going to want to stay tuned to Civic Media all day long. Coming up after our show here this morning, The Earl Ingram Show, hosting Reggie Jackson, doing a dive into the accomplishments that Black history has had and Black members of both Wisconsin and around the country have accomplishments for the entire nation, as well as Maggie Dawn hosting a conversation with the Center for American Progress, coming up on the impacts of what the National Institute of Health are going to have on our state here in Wisconsin. Folks, you're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Luke Mathers. Stay tuned all day long. We're going to continue the conversation with Sean and Corrine coming up when we return.
Beneath a shady tree, I love her and she's loving me. She feels good. She knows she's looking fine. I'm so proud to know that she...
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Between all the holiday parties,
weekend tailgates,
and family get-togethers,
we've been overindulging a little more than usual over the holidays. But now, we are starting the new year off on a healthier note by taking active liver supplements from New Nordic every day.
Active Liver contains a powerful blend of turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract, all natural ingredients that help protect the liver so that it can protect you from toxins. It's like giving my body a daily detox. I've never felt better, and my energy is through the roof.
And my doctor is already impressed with how much better my numbers are looking. So if better health, more energy, and detoxing your body are some of your priorities this year, get Active Liver today and start the year off knowing you're giving your liver some well-deserved relief.
Active Liver is available in both tablets and as a delicious gummy. You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, lean left, straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. That is the tax man, because we are talking about some small business tax fairness with the tax fight that is going on as we speak in Washington, D.C. It got underway last week. We are joined here on Civic Media Mornings by Sean Fetteplace and Corrine Hendrickson of the Main Street Alliance, working on this advocacy. Corrine, as an early childhood educator, heading to Washington, D.C. and advocating for tax fairness, not necessarily, I think, one of the things you originally thought you'd be doing when getting into carrying the care economy and the care system. But what is it for you that motivates you to go to put everything else on pause and head to Washington, D.C. for advocacy like you're doing this week?
Well, yeah, as a family child care provider, I'm also a small business owner. And that gets lost a lot of times, even by those of us who are doing the work, because first and foremost, we do care and educate for the children and their parents and all that. But part of that being a business owner is also understanding how all of these things kind of go together and how the funding works and your revenue and needing to be good at math, which again, most of us, we work with kids, not numbers, but also just being able to tell our story and thinking about how important we are. And because we are so underpaid and so undervalued and so underinvested in, it makes it that much harder for us to do it. We're mostly minorities, we're mostly women. And so that again, adds extra layers of that. And so for me, being part of Main Street Alliance has helped me find that voice as a business owner to really like embrace that. I am a business owner and I need to act like one and I need to be in these spaces. And I'm also then caring for and educating our employees, which are elected officials, and letting them know what it is that I do and why it's so important to the entire foundation of our economy and why we need to be invested in. Like when the Child Care Development Block Grant is the only thing that Wisconsin relies on for our entire child care system, all of it. We have zero state dollars invested in our state budget. If that goes away, what is going to happen to our state's child care system? Like, it's terrifying. And I don't think people understand that connection. And that's part of what I do with Main Street Alliance is get other child care professionals and owners involved in the business end of it so that we can go to D.C. and take these opportunities to advocate, which, again, it's been an amazing experience. And I highly recommend.
We wish you the best of luck with how all of those conversations go this week. When it comes to advocating for the things that not only your small business, but the small business community here in Wisconsin needs to see out of this tax bill to be able to have the ability to continue and hopefully thrive when it comes to the small businesses that make up our communities, the advocacy, Sean, is not the only thing that Main Street Alliance is working on, though. There's also other avenues and levers your organization is utilizing to try to make sure that you're standing up for small businesses and be able to fight on other battles outside of just what's going on in those congressional offices. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Sean?
Yeah, so the federal freeze is what kicked this all off. Donald Trump took office on January 20th, and him and Elon Musk got to work pretty fast, much faster than the last administration, and they froze federal grants and loans. There are folks, for example, in Dane County, where Head Start wasn't able to access their funds, and that was hundreds of staff and over 1,000 kids that would have been impacted by that. So you're looking at somewhere between 750 and probably 1,000 families just in Dane County. And we sued and we won so far. It's going to take some time for the whole process to play out. I've learned a lot about the law in the last several weeks. But, you know, we felt like we needed to have the backs, and we had members that were directly impacted. I know with Child Care Development Block grants, that impacts Korean businesses like hers. We had members who directly were cut off from federal funds from grants that they had received, and they couldn't make payroll. And so that was one action we took. We also took action on the snooping by Elon Musk into the IRS. That is a huge breach of privacy. And there's a reason why that data is so guarded, because it's very sensitive data. And so we sued on that. And I would say we're also going to be taking action on the federal layoffs, mostly because of how they're being done. You know, you have folks from the SBA, as many as 1,000 people were laid off from the SBA.
The SBA is the Small Business Association, or administration.
Yeah, and they're the ones that do a lot of loans and grants for small businesses. They do technical assistance. They do disaster relief in places like California with the wildfires, North Carolina with the recent hurricane, and it's going to dramatically impact services. And so we're taking legal action on that, because frankly, the way they're doing this, instead of moving around the furniture in the house, once they, you know, took ownership, so to speak, of control of government, they burned it down and are working to collect the insurance money. And it's just not a good way to really run government. And it's going to directly impact our membership.
Yeah. And it's, already we're seeing the effects of what's going on with this. We're seeing the outcries, the aspect of the congressional town halls that we're seeing the outrage in, the advocacy work, the legal work. It is a lot of different aspects are going to be needed to make sure that we can stand up for our communities across Wisconsin. We really appreciate what Main Street Alliance and both of your work is doing to be able to advocate for that. Is there any final things you'd like to share with the audience about the work that you're doing out in Washington, D.C., or anything coming up for Main Street Alliance soon?
Corinne, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I was just going to say, get involved, join Main Street Alliance, join other local community events, and get just start. Just put your foot in it and just kind of start. And then, Sean, were you going to talk about March 18th at the Capitol?
Yeah, we are. If you're a small business owner, regardless, go to mainstreetalliance.org. Click on events. We have online calls that we do, but we also, this upcoming Monday, we're meeting with the Joint Finance Committee Democrats in Appleton. They're hosting a roundtable. We're going to talk to them about our priorities. The governor's actually holding roundtables across the state this week, where our members will be intense to talk to them about what our priorities are. And we're going to be assembling March 18th at Arbor Feed Mill. Enjoy some Ian's Pizza, and then go up and give members of the state legislature an earful about what it is that we need. So if you want to join that, even if you aren't a small business owner, happy to have you. Go to mainstreetalliance.org.
Fantastic. Well, the work continues. We really, really appreciate both of you taking some time out of the advocacy you are doing for small businesses across Wisconsin to join us here on the airwaves this Monday morning. Again, that is Sean Fetaplace and Corinne Hendrickson working with Main Street Alliance, doing some advocacy around the tax fight that is coming to Washington, D.C. Sean, Corinne, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it, folks. We're going to continue the conversation with what is going on with headlines, as well as a couple of other fun aspects with Greg and I on the sports world here in Wisconsin. Going to talk sports movies when we return.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection looking for high school students interested in being the next class of Wisconsin Agricultural Youth Council members. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. High school juniors can apply now through March 31st to be a part of the 12-person council. Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski says this is something that was devised during the pandemic to keep young people engaged in where their food comes from.
We have great connection with what we now call our alumni, people who have done this in previous years, and they say it's been a great experience. They've learned a lot. It's helped them focus on what their career might be. The people that we're working with are obviously very busy, but they're also very driven, and they're really focused on what's important to them, and they're engaged in they're very engaged in what that future looks like. So, you know, we get as much out of it as they do, I think, because we get to learn what they need, what interests them, what part of the world of agriculture is there going to be their focus. And so we get to help kind of craft how we as a state agency can help them with that.
Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin Ag Secretary, they're looking for 15 members of the next generation Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council. Romanski says that those high school juniors can apply now through March 31st. Just go to agyouthcouncil.wi.gov.
You've heard about Lely Center Monroe and how Lely Robotics can improve your dairy operation. Now's your chance to see it firsthand. You're invited to view it all in full action at an open house at Burnell Martin's Dairy Farm Wednesday, March 5th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Fenimore. Discover how this operation started with three Lely Astronaut A5 robotic milking systems. And in 2024, increase production per cow per day while reducing the cost of labor. Register and enter for a free cow brush at Lely.com.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Do you have a favorite burger spot? Well, the Wisconsin Beef Council wants to know about it. They've launched their second annual Wisconsin's Best Burger Contest, looking for the state's most delectable 100% beef burger. They're trying to celebrate those Wisconsin restaurants that craft memorable burger experience. From now through March 21st, you can nominate your favorite beef burger from anywhere in Wisconsin. Go to beeftips.com and submit today. That's literally a look at food news on a Monday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Northern Wisconsin weather. Good morning. I'm Corey Hartman. A few sprinkles are possible today, otherwise partly sunny and 45. We'll have strong west winds. Tonight, a sprinkle or flurry, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low around 27. Partly sunny, upper 30s on your Tuesday. Wednesday, chance of snow 42.
It's 39 at our studios.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so well put.
And that matters.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome RogerEbert.com film critic Mariah Gates for some Oscar talk, and entrepreneur Chad Franker joins the show to talk about a new program to combat loneliness.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Pat Kreitlow on this Monday morning, February 24th. Thrilled to have you with us here. Got Greg keeping me company on the board, taking your phone calls and text messages, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream, like our friend Rob up in Tigerton. Rob, apologies, dove right into that conversation with Corrine and Sean before we could get to your comments with the top of the hour forecast with Brittany Merlot. Rob, you want to... You do the honors, Greg, right? Like, yeah, I don't want to mess up the flow.
I'm fine to do it.
All right.
Good morning from Tigerton. It's clear skies before sunrise. It is a 42 balmy degrees. Winds from the southwest at 15 miles per hour. When I went to bed, it was 28 degrees.
And now it's much, much warmer. It's warm. It is much warmer. Yeah. Let's see.
Much warmer.
He says... The snowmobile trails in Shawnee County is closed as of 6 a.m. this morning. Oh, man, that sucks.
And well, if you find Brittany got good use out of them before over the weekend. Then Civic Media's meteorologist, Brittany Merlot.
And he says he's on Blue Sky, ROBJR29, with a picture of Kristen, Brittany, and Rob. And he thanks them, of course, helping him set up his social media and whatnot.
There you go.
So thank you very much, Rob from Tigerton, for the weather update and just for the update on life, because we love, love, love hearing from you. Also, Roger says, if Van Orton shows up for anything, he needs to be completely sober to be taken seriously. Oh, hey, Roger.
Well, that was from our conversation last hour with Dr. Kristen Lyerly discussing the town halls held by Congressman Grothman and Congressman Fitzgerald this past week, and whether or not we're going to see any more of those town halls from other members of the Wisconsin congressional delegation. It will be interesting to see how those go, if any of them are scheduled and on the books, or if they are scheduled, if they're going to get removed from the schedule. It will be interesting. But I really want to thank Sean Fetteplace and Corrine Hendrickson, working with Main Street Alliance on the small business advocacy they are doing in Washington, D.C. this week and coming up next month, as they said, here at our state capitol in Madison. So really would thank them. Thank Dr. Lyerly as well. One of the things that we had the opportunity to discuss on today's history lesson, that moment 45 years ago this past Saturday, the Miracle on Ice, got me thinking, favorite sports movie of all time. And Greg, I feel like it's almost hard to choose because there are so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But like there are some excellent, excellent sports movies out there. And folks, if you've got one, we want to hear them. You can text it in. You can drop it in the live stream. You can give us a call and share your thoughts on your favorite sports movie of all time. But mine, I think, has to be Miracle from the Disney recreation of that 1980 team, where Team USA beat the Soviet Union in that, ultimately went on and won gold by defeating, I believe, Sweden in that final gold medal match. But the Miracle on Ice, the upset that took place when the combination of collegiate amateur athletes from around the United States came together, outconditioned themselves, overconditioned compared to the Soviets, and were able to skate with them, which was something no other hockey team had been able to do in about a 20-year span. And so that Miracle on Ice taking place 45 years ago this past Saturday. Greg, am I wrong? Is Miracle not a great movie?
No, you're not wrong. Miracle is a great movie. Okay. I have a soft spot in my heart and a soft space on the top of my head.
You've got a different sport.
But like, I have a different sport. But I have a soft spot in my heart for Disney sports movies. Disney sports. They just hit differently than
my runner up is also a Disney sports movie.
Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans.
My friend.
Remember the Titans.
My friend, Rich D'Amore. He's a great comedian out of Milwaukee. He has a great joke. He goes, "I just want to write sequels to movies. My first one's gonna be called, oh yeah, the Titans." So, I see. To me, Disney sports movies are almost their own genre, apart from other sports movies, if you will, because they always come with real lessons and light, and they're not always factually accurate. Check Remember the Titans Wikipedia page. But if I'm gonna pick a Disney sports movie, it's almost always gonna be Remember the Titans, because I just love
that's
movie.
Fair.
If we're gonna go a regular sports movie, my number one is Moneyball, and I know that makes me sound like a really big robot.
I don't think that's a bad choice at all. That's got to be up there as one of the better ones. I think the same concern though with this, the inaccuracies, they kind of played it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's how a lot of those Hollywood scripts become. Like, you can't take every, like, nothing is a Hollywood picture from beginning to end. No story is.
No.
There's always some kind of dramatization of what went on or fudging it.
Yeah,
there.
You have to interest the people. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And
more than just Brad Pitt being cast as the, you know, Billy Bean.
I mean, Billy Bean's a good looking fella. I don't know what he looks like now, but yeah.
Yeah, but when you get Brad Pitt, that turns heads. Like, Brad Pitt is Brad Pitt. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's true. I just love the movie because everything about it is great. And I read the book, by the way. The book is difficult because it's a lot of formulas. I'm not kidding.
It's more analytic, right?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It's all the equations and all of that stuff that went into
the
Moneyball.
I love Major League because, you know, my grandma worked at County Stadium from its opening until like the early 90s. So she got to see all those players through the years, and she was there for the taping of the movie. And it was just like, it's Major League. What else is there to say about a movie like Major League?
Major League's got to be up there too. That's we're almost creating kind of maybe the Mount Rushmore of sports movies.
Yeah.
That's what we could do. We could have four selections then, but
sure.
That's a good one. We've got Ardith writing in on the live stream on YouTube. You can watch the show as well. You get the secret show in between the commercial breaks as well. If you follow us on YouTube or X, you can head over to the Civic Media accounts there. You can follow and like and subscribe. Do all of those things that the social media accounts ask you to do. But Ardith saying their favorite sports movie, Chariots of Fire and Major League. So they're with you on that one.
Great. Those are
Major League getting the shout out.
Chariots of Fire and Major League. That is two polar opposite films. Let me tell you. It's like, you know, two sports movies I love. I love The Replacements and Brian's Song.
just you know, two sides of the same coin, right?
Exactly.
You got opposite sides of the same coin.
But
favorite sports movie, you can chime in, send us a text, give
please.
Us a phone call, drop it on the live stream. We got KTEL RJ as well. Chiming in saying their favorite sports movie is Hoosiers. Most of the drills in the movie were the same their team practiced in high school. So that's where the coach for their high school team getting creative, just pulling it right out of the movie.
That's KTEL RJ is Roger from Stevens Point. So
Roger from Stevens Point.
And then Steve from Milwaukee says Rudy. John Favreau was really funny in there. Yeah, I will say that's another movie where you really want to look up how different that movie is from the real life thing. So it's sorry, I'm going to break your bubbles there. A movie that I feel like, Luke, that we don't talk about enough, and I think you said you hadn't watched all the way through, Draft Day. Kevin Costner,
yes.
Dennis
yes.
Leary, Terry Crews is in it. Chadwick Boseman is in that film.
I would say they have a lot of folks in that one.
And it's just like the day in the life. It's one day in the life of a general manager, or is that football called general managers?
GM,
GM.
The GM, yep.
On draft day, and it's kind of weird. It's there's one story about the draft, and there's one story about, like, you know, relationships and family, and it's just, I love it. I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah, there's excellent sports movies like that, though, where there are so many, like Coach Carter Yeah. Another one of my favorite, like, you got an excellent basketball story told through Samuel L. Jackson as the coach, like an excellent, excellent movie. There's a lot of choices out there. So, folks, you're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Luke Mathers filling in for Mr. Pat Kreitlow. He is out on a retreat this week. He's not enjoying, well, we heard it was a retreat. Maybe yeah. he was getting a little homesick from those Caribbean sands, and he had to go back for a couple more days, Greg. I don't know. We're going to have to investigate that. We're going to have to make sure that
I think you and I need to get on a plane and go to the Caribbean and look for Pat.
There we go. Yes, that's what we're going to do. Okay, so Dan's going to fill in tomorrow. Dan Schaefer, yep. Fill in tomorrow. Greg and I are going to catch the next flight out to the Caribbean and make sure that Kreitlow's not there. But he will be back Friday, regardless of where he is. We've got an excellent slate of guests lined up to host the program in Pat's absence. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor coming up tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 a.m. Then we got Chad Holmes helping out from WXCO. Chad's going to be joining and hosting on Wednesday morning. And Mr. Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show going to be filling in on Thursday morning ahead of Pat's return on Friday. So a little variety for you here on Civic Media Mornings this week. Not relying as heavy on Bach and the Doc for your sake, Greg. So you don't have to do it all while Pat's gone.
I don't mind doing it. I love Dr. Lyerly. Before we move on to anything else, though, I wanted to address a question on the live stream that came in earlier in the show when we were talking about spring training in Arizona. Speaking of sports right now.
Yeah.
Tony on the live stream says, are you going to talk about baseball trying out the automated strike system? How do you feel about that? I know we only have a couple minutes left, but compact your feelings in a couple of seconds here.
I think it drastically changes from Jules chiming in, listening on WXCO, saying Field of Dreams is their favorite sports movie. We're seeing a lot of these automated things. I haven't got a chance to watch a whole lot of the games yet, so I haven't been able to see it in practice. But we see with the offsides in soccer and a number of other sports – I think that there should be some more of this anyways, like that fourth down conversion where the Bills versus the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. Like, I think football could have benefited from having a review being like, hey, let's take a closer look at whether or not that fourth down was converted or not.
Yeah.
And I think that there are some umpires, Angel Hernandez, could use a little assistance. But then it also, as Greg, I don't know if you know this or not, but my first job growing up was umpire. I forget which one I started getting paid for first, if it was mowing lawns or umpiring Little League games, but that was how I made money throughout the springs and the summer.
Yeah.
And there is a romantic aspect still of the way that baseball plays, and you do have humans behind the call. And I think removing that does remove an aspect of the game. I'm not necessarily opposed to it right off the bat. I was skeptical of the pitch clock, but it didn't really change. Like, I don't think it changed the game for the worse as the pitch clock got implemented.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts? You know, you happy about it? You looking forward to it? Or you think it's abysmal and an atrocity against the game of baseball?
I have trepidations, but I will say this. When the pitch clock came out at first, I was all like grumpy old man, like, no, we can't be doing this. And then I went to a baseball game that was 2 hours and 30 minutes. I was like, this ain't bad.
right? Well, and your friend of mine, Brian Kelly, who loves baseball, his favorite thing, his whole, and he's still the same way for the pitch clock, is how can you love baseball if you want less baseball? And I do also understand that, because the speed of the game, the
dynamic. But is it baseball when I'm just waiting? Yeah. Is it baseball if I'm just standing there waiting, sitting there waiting for them to decide what pitch? I mean, that's not...
You get another hot dog and you enjoy a nice cold one and you take in the game with your friend. I don't know.
That's $20 right there, Luke. Am I made of money?
That's fair. You got to go on family day. Dollar dogs or $5 dogs, whatever the
I just don't want to see the jettison of umpires completely. I think if they can add something, great, but I do not want to see, like, well, this is the first season without any umpires. That's like, okay, there has to be some human error in a game like baseball.
It's all robots now. Yeah, that would be unfortunate. I'm hoping that they're not going in that direction, but it is interesting to see how it will look and whether or not it's going to make a change. Because if it makes for better calls and better games with still a human element behind the plate, I think it could be good.
Yeah, agree.
Folks, you're listening to Civic Media Mornings. He's Greg Bach. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Pat Kreitlow. We're going to be joined by hosts of Matt and Air on Air coming up. We got Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach. We got one more segment left in this morning. Stay with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important is it for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Pat Kreitlow. And that song can mean one thing and one thing only, the incomparable Jane Matinair joining us here on Civic Media Mornings. Jane, how are you doing?
I am great, Lukester. It's Monday. It's going to be a really, really nice day. I am super psyched about that.
Yeah, we've got some interesting weather here, you know, coming. I think Jimmy the Groundhog.
Were you going to say Jimmy the Greek?
I don't know. Okay. I guess Jimmy the Groundhog here in Sun Prairie must have had it right though, because we've got some early spring coming our way.
Even a blind groundhog will get it right every 7 years or so.
Well, that was not to throw shade at Jimmy, but I feel like they might have been padding his numbers. Like they said that he hadn't been wrong in so long, and I was like, that almost seems like a suspiciously long streak.
I think you're onto something. I think we should go back and double check those records.
Well, I think it's just one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, yeah, the groundhog was right again. Yay!
Are you saying there was shenanigans? Sorry, just wanted to use some sound effects.
Yeah, Greg was getting a little antsy at the board there. He wanted to get a couple more of those in.
Whatever gets you through the day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can always use a couple more stings. They always work.
Times are tough.
He's suffering this morning as well, having to deal with me for the last 2 hours. So I was listening.
I was listening on the way in. You guys sounded just fine.
You know what's amazing?
Bach and not the doc, maybe renewed for another season.
well, okay, we'll go that far.
That's fair. That's fair. Jane, how was your weekend? What do you got coming up on today's big show? For
weekend was uneventful. Today we have Emily Zeppos is going to join us. Emily, of course, has run. She is in Outagamie County, very active Democrat. And one of our elected officials decided to show up in her personal mentions on her personal socials. So we're going to kick that around a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Also today, I was just reading in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there seems to be some infighting in the Wisconsin Republican Party, all thanks to Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA. So I think we may spend a little time this morning talking about, it looks like they're coming for the old guard in the Wisconsin Republican Party, and those guys don't like it.
I have not seen that yet, so I'm going to have to tune in for Matt and Air on Air this morning to see what's going on with that.
And speaking of tuning in on Wednesday, Luke, I'm really looking forward to this. Will Westmoreland has a TikTok that I stumbled over a couple of weeks ago. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri. He's been farming for decades. And there was a TikTok that was going around about this young farmer who said, I'm going to lose my farm because of some of the things that Donald Trump is doing. And especially with freezing some things that they had, you know, he had already spent money on for improvements to his farm. And Will Westmoreland has a really interesting explanation for his fellow farmers on what has happened, especially within the misinformation ecosystem, shall we say, for the last 40 years. It should be a really, really interesting discussion.
And that conversation coming up on Wednesday.
That will be Wednesday at 10:30. Yep.
Fantastic. And I don't know if you guys heard, but I think Todd Alba traded in his truck for a pair of cross-country skis.
Oh.
And he's supposed to be cross-country skiing all the way back to Madison.
That's quite a hike.
We'll see if he was able to get very far or not. But Mr. Alba, returning from the Birkebeiner, following your terrific show this morning, Todd getting started at noon until 2. But that sounds like a fantastic week, Jane. We are really looking forward to continuing to cover. I know a lot of these aspects right now with the town halls last week, with the what's going on in Washington, what's going on across the state of Wisconsin, the interviews, the information, the conversations that you bring on Matt and Air on Air are tremendously important. So really appreciate you joining me here on a little bit of the Civic Media Mornings as we fill in for Mr. Kreitlow. But really, really appreciate everything that you do every Monday through Friday, 10 to noon as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Luke. I just think it's important that we all have an opportunity to hear what's going on. Maybe we don't want to hear it, but unfortunately, I think some of these things are things that we need to hear, and we certainly need to be aware that they're going on. And those town halls last week, I was not having the greatest emotional weekend, so when I was feeling really bad, I would just go back and watch Glenn Grothman and Scott Fitzgerald, and it just kind of buoyed my spirits. It was interesting.
You got buoyed.
That's one
by
way
the
to
booze.
Watch the news. Yeah, that's one way to watch the news.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I just get warm and fuzzy all over.
Germans call that Schadenfreude.
I would call it something else, but we're FCC compliant. So.
Yes, we are. And not to put you on the spot, but do you have a favorite sports movie? Greg was going with Moneyball. I'm going with Miracle. 45 years this past weekend, 45th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. Any sports movie for you? Or I know you're not the
I do have one
sports fan. Yeah,
Bull Durham.
Oh, that's a good one.
So many quotable lines from that movie, especially I think it's really appropriate now. Most people are not cursed with the gift of self-awareness. I think that's a pretty important line in today's day and age, shall we say.
That is an excellent addition to today's conversation of best sports movies. Thank you very much, Jane. Hope you have a tremendous show
this morning.
And really appreciate you joining us here on this Monday edition of Civic Media Mornings. Again, I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat Kreitlow. Tomorrow from 6 to 8 a.m., you can tune in for Dan Schaefer, going to be filling in, the political editor of Civic Media, as well as the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Chad Holmes holding down the fort on Wednesday, and Mr. Todd Alba on Thursday. Pat will return on Friday. Folks, stay tuned. We've got an excellent conversation with Earl Ingram and Reggie Jackson coming up next on The Earl Ingram Show. I'm Luke Mathers. You've been listening to Civic Media Mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll look back at the weekend headlines with our friend and contributor, Matt Flynn, an attorney and two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Apple is committing to a $500 billion investment in the U.S. over the next 4 years, and there are major plans for Texas, where ABC's Jim Ryan reports.
Until now, the massive servers that power Apple's artificial intelligence products have been built overseas. Now the company plans to shift that manufacturing to a 250,000-square-foot factory to be opened in Houston next year. The company also plans to expand its footprint in 8 other states, including its home state of California.
Federal workers continue to face conflicting instructions after Elon Musk said that anyone who does not reply to an email naming 5 accomplishments by today's deadline will be fired. But several agencies and departments have told their employees to hold off on a response. President Trump today meets with French President Macron at the White House on the 3rd anniversary of Russia invading Ukraine. And Pope Francis remains in critical condition, hospitalized with pneumonia. This is ABC News.